online. We are the station to listen to. Hit 95.9 FM. From the Canaan city of Calabar to your best music, best talk radio. This is The Dialogue. The Dialogue with Agba Jalingo. Jalingo on Hit 95.9 FM, Calabar. Calabar.
Good evening to you listeners out there and welcome to episode 357 of The Dialogue with Agba Jalingo, coming to you live from the studios of the premier audio broadcasting outfit in the ancient city of Calabar, the Hit 95.9 FM, where you get the best music and the best talk. You've been listening to the best music all afternoon from superstar DJ Stazzy. The best news and the best talk commence with the news at 6 with Happiness Ifyok, and continues now The Dialogue with Agba Jalingo, where we'll be talking about transportation, yes, public transportation, but with particular emphasis on the recent ban on Okada by the Governor Bassey Otu's administration. My name is Jonathan Abang, and I'm moderating this evening's dialogue in the absence of Citizen Agba Jalingo, the host himself. Well, it's sad news what happened at Marina Resort. We're getting information just about now that Marina Resort has been shut down until they evacuate the missing medical students who drowned after the boat conveying them capsized. That's the information we're getting just now. You heard that first, of course, on The Dialogue with Agba Jalingo. But first, what is transportation? Now, this simply refers to the movement of people or goods from one point to another. It comes in different forms. When it is offered for a fee, it is often referred to as public transportation in Nigeria, even though the actual meaning slightly differs. It is done with the help of motorcycles, cars, trains, ships, and airplanes. In Calabar, the Cross River State Capital, Governor Bassey Otu recently announced a ban on the use of motorcycles to convey people in the metropolis and city center. But that has brought a lot of questions. Why the ban? How long will it last? What happened to the initial ban? Was it lifted? Are there alternatives? And how will this impact the movement of the people? This and more remain the focus of this evening's The Dialogue with Agba Jalingo, with the topic, the Okada ban and public transportation in Calabar, ideas, issues, and reality. And to discuss this and more with us, we have in the studio here with me the leader himself, the coordinator and chairman of Cross River State Civil Society Network, leader Ben Usa. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm glad to be here once again.
Yeah, most definitely, of course. We're supposed to have Mr. Emmanuel Ogbeche, the CPS, to the governor, but we're trying, his contact is not going through. I believe probably he's engaged somewhere, as the case may be, but we'll keep trying to reach him. Anyway, he said he was going to let us know if he'll be here, but unfortunately we can't get across to him at the moment, as it were. But we'll continue with the conversation. Now, when you first heard the issue of the ban on Okada, what first came to your mind, leader?
Okay, well, for me, first is that I thought the government was a bit hasty, because I think that for a new government to take some far-reaching decision, as you know, the ban, you know, of Okada once more, or is it the reban? Because I think there's supposed to be some kind of ban. So I think it's really the government, you know, trying to assert its authority, you know, as a new government to, you know, put the city right. But I think that for me, the government would have studied basically the environment, the city, you know, with its own team, basically, and really have an understanding of what, you know, kind of system will work here better. So my first impression was a bit disappointing because I know that, you know, there is no form of study team in place, you know, to really look at, you know, mobile bike transportation in the city of Calabar and many other, perhaps many other urban cities of the state. So I think there is a disconnect of policy. The state has an urban policy that in four major towns of the state, which has a peculiar urban, supposed to have a peculiar urban arrangement that is different from how it, you know, basically operates in other towns. So I thought the government would have looked at this in terms of transportation and many other things that makes an urban town different. But I think that wasn't done, and it's going to mean that that policy, to me, will either not once again be effectively implemented, or is simply going to create untold hardship unnecessarily. Well, it does look like a good intention of saving lives and maybe beautifying the city, but for me, my perception is that the negative, you know, may end up applying one more, much more than the positive the government may have had in mind.
Okay, now here's the fun fact, right? You said Reban was actually correct because the Governor Lee Elimoke's administration placed a ban on Okada on motorcycles in 2008.
Yeah.
And according to Governor Elimoke back then, it was that, the bikes were being used to perpetrate crimes. Although the conversation was not, but sometime 15 years later last year, there are claims that the ban was lifted. At least we could not verify because there was no statement that we saw to that effect. Now this was on Wednesday, and let me just read the statement issued by the CPS to Governor Basio too. He said, as the state's government plans towards ensuring a safe and secure crossover, the governor, His Excellency, Senator Prince Basio II, after due consultation with key security chiefs in the state, has directed as follows. 1. A total ban on the activities of all commercial motorcycles within the Calabar metropolis. 2. Those willing to use their motorcycles to earn a decent living are restricted only to remote areas away from the city center. And 3. Anyone caught going against this directive will have the motorcycle impounded and the offender prosecuted. I will just pause there. And this is the reason why we wanted the CPS to explain what metropolis is and city center. But you've been doing this. You may want to share some perspective with us on what you think about metropolis and city center. Because, of course, part of what we do in the dialogue is to inform the public.
Yeah.
So many people will get to know what exactly is the metropolis, what exactly is the city center, so they don't put their bikes there.
Okay. Well, for me, as somebody who has participated in some sort of research that has to use the word metropolis, I've only had to resort to my own interpretation without seeing any clear-cut policy stating that. So basically, you know, my result has been that the state capital right across is a metropolis. But in real terms, the state capital right across is not a metropolis. Because simply and truthfully and practically, there are rural parts of Calabar. Very rural, in fact, actually. And the very remote parts of Calabar. So you can't be describing, you know, a state capital with such locations that exist in the geographical map of Calabar as really the metropolis. Because a metropolis, to my best of my understanding, it's completely an urban setting, completely, in terms of everything that an urban should be. So a city center, well, I don't also think, you know, the state has, you know, gotten that right clearly. Yes, you know, we've had to use like the carnival route to say that's the city center, that's the center of Calabar, so to speak. Well, geographically, to me, rightly, that's the center of Calabar. When you look at the Merisles or the Nidemosang in South Marian, the MCC, the highway part that connects that route, that falls into the center of the southern part of Calabar, the center of the southern part, the northern part, and you have those locations. But clearly, the ban has been far beyond that. I've watched tax force chasing people in deep down streets of Ikoroman that obviously operates like a village. And, you know, you need to wonder, well, that's in previous government, though. So if from my take now, the government will be trying to do one thing. it seemed to have obviously realized that there are parts of the city that bikes will have to continue operating because there is no plan. So it begins to put the word city center. But again, it looks like a policy confusion because it talks about a metropolis. When So without a clear definition, geographical definition, the entire Calabar is a metropolis. Then you now bring in and talk about a city center. And yet, for previous implementations, basically, you know, have hunted bikes down up to, you know, the Coromandel 8 miles axis into in deep rural streets and all that. So what is going to be different? And that, again, should, for a new government that must generate all the goodwill it deserves, it must be very explicit. And perhaps that is why, really, the press secretary that issued that statement on behalf of government ought to have, you know, it basically had the opportunity on this medium to clarify us. You know, what do you think is saying the city center? Do we simply mean that on Marianne, on MCC, on Maurice Leysor, and the part of the highway, there's simply not going to be bikes, but every other place, you know, the rain continues. So for me, I think that looking at our neighboring state that has attempted to be a bit explicit, you know, the Akwa Ibom state specifically mentions streets and tells you that up to this point of the streets, you know, that's detailed and that looks like a better plan, even though for me, I think they ought to do more. So we are definitely not doing enough. We are definitely not engaging the stakeholders. You know, we are definitely not sensitive to the pains of the people who live in the periphery of the town. You know, who, I mean, personally, I've had to, you know, get to somebody in parts of 8 miles. And it takes you almost 30 minutes from the 8 miles junction. If you don't do an appointment, certainly with only a bike, you won't move from the highway to those locations. So when the bikes don't know whether that is city center or that's not city center, or they will be hunted down or not, people are simply going to suffer more because people live there, you know, from their own efforts. And of course, they will begin to feel that the government is sensitive to the challenges they are facing, particularly at this point.
That's a whole lot there. You answered so many questions that I was going to ask I was going to ask you as this. Yeah. Now, let's roll back and dial it back down a bit, right? The statement, which was issued on Wednesday, June 21st, also said that those willing to use their motorcycle to earn a decent living are restricted only to remote areas away from the city center. I know you have tried to explain that. You also mentioned the carnival route. It's a 12-kilometer route, right?
Yeah.
From 11-11 all the way down to Total filling station. Then from you take a left to Maurice Leysor to Maurice Leysor runabout. And then all the way down through Rabana, Athikon to Efiute, and then back to MCC, Mobile, and then highway to the stadium. That's 12 kilometers length. That's the entire carnival route.
Yeah.
But even within these places, you have Bikko and Co, where okadas run within. So at that point in time.
Yeah. Well, first is that I only try to attempt express what is city center in the view of Calabar. Because my definition of city center in that sense of carnival route may not apply elsewhere. It's simply that for me, this is the most, you know, coming, living, being born and living in Calabar for all the years, you know, this looks like the center of the city, relatively to an extent. But clearly, just like you said, some bikes run within some parts of those axes because there are traditional communities within those places. But I don't think it's really because of just the traditional communities existing. It's that the transportation route is in a manner that, you know, means that there are peripheries, essentially, that people still need to reach, and yet there's no transportation. Okay, for instance, using the Bikko that you rightly, you know, basically highlighted, if I need to get close to the Ndidem's Palace, I'm certainly without a drop, which a lot of us may not be able to afford now, wouldn't reach the Ndidem's Palace in Bikko. Because it will mean that I'll have to drop on the Ndidem-Osanisor Road and take a long walk, okay, back into that part of the street. And, okay, that's just using one of the examples in Bikko. There are parts of Bikko that taxis will not reach and every other thing. Now, there is no transportation plan at all for these places. First, by the commercial people who need to have taken advantage of the opportunity to take people across. There's no keke, there's nothing. So, in places like this,
and keke stops operating by 6 p.m. actually.
Keke actually stops operating by 6, and interestingly, doesn't operate in any part of those city centers that we're talking about. that there's absolutely no part that he does there. Now, Keke was brought in to take out the bikes. Now, so why haven't we, you know, planned the town and asked them to move into some places where bikes should actually pull out completely by any standard and any reference? To me, there's not been that effort. Okay, the previous administration didn't try that. Unlike actually when we started having this ban on bikes, there was a serious deliberate effort in the Lel and Imoke's administration to get small cabs to attempt. I think the Kekes didn't come in, but the essence of saying cabs, okay, move up to this point, the pronto cabs essentially.
Yes.
The pronto cab was some sort of response that looked like the government had a plan. So my point is that the government should have a plan. The government, to an extent, beside the crisis in the fuel thing now that has happened, even if it didn't happen, if the government was going to take out bikes again, the government would have deliberately put Keke Napep in certain strategic point. Okay, now imagine the very big place in the Korean F states. Mm. No taxi transportation takes place there. It is Keke. Now those Keke is because business people moved in there, but because it's not sufficient, bikes are hanging in that area. So, such a large new estate, vast landmass, needs the government to have intervened. Say, okay, we clearly, since the Goridim as it falls into what should be most likely part of the city center, okay, we're going to support with 20 keke coming in, either by subsidy and all that, you know, almost also practically in the city center. You're not choosing the city center thing and intervening completely to make sure it is thorough before you now begin to issue statements that talk about city center that people can operate elsewhere. First is that statement, for me, is confusing. It's a statement that is going to, if enforced immediately, is going to simply haunt people in a way that, you know, at this point will simply be, you know, making life difficult for the citizens, you know, without having any solution. It's a statement that, you know, when the government would have waited, the government is reacting too fast and is going to simply, you know, not, you know, give it the right goodwill it deserves at this point.
Because, I mean, at some point in time in 2015, Governor Benayade actually extended the ban from the areas you mentioned to Idmas and other suburbs as well. But we saw more and more bikes coming in, as the case may be. And at some point in time, law enforcement agents were even accused of taking some tokens from the Okada people to allow them operate on a daily basis. It was more like a daily tickets from them and all of that.
So but they still pay the ticket somehow, whether part of the money gets to government or not.
Was a law enforcement officials collecting the money.
That's very unfortunate. Yeah, but for me, one thing is clear. As much as personally, I've had to wish that the bikes at the point were gone, mainly because, you know, I had a very special one that I would plead, please don't climb the bikes in these areas, they're very unsafe. Mm. So it was like, initially when the bike thing ban came, I was like, oh, she wasn't going to climb those, she wouldn't see any bike to climb. And it solved a bit of a problem, because actually, now the reason I raise this is that, clearly, in some cases, we would even need to call the government to take this action. Because in some places, apart from the insecurity that made the government say they were finally taking the action, bike is extremely unsafe. In fact, whenever I've had to be forced to climb bikes in some of these places where you don't have any form of transport, I literally beg them, please, spare my life, because some of them are extremely rough.
But we saw a situation years ago, the government, the state government was even issuing out helmets to them.
Yes, you see. Well, practically, if you look at it, that's why, okay, definitely Donald Duke administration first attempted to bring out helmets for safety, because it realized then that perhaps it could not ban the bikes. So it tried to put them in a way that there was, it was a good effort, it was a good attempt, but of course you know that many people didn't like wearing the helmets. Many people thought the helmets were going to put some things on their head that came from other people. Mm. And so just...
And there was also the story of some disappearing after putting on the helmets.
Of course, when Calabar seemed to have been a town of all manners of stories. Absolutely. That. So they had the least opportunities to run away from the helmet. The people did. And that was unfortunate. But you see, this has been attempts. Calabar is not ripe for a total ban. There's no doubt about that. And it's indirectly being acknowledged in the press statement. Calabar needs some form of ban, definitely. I totally sign up for that in some aspects. But clearly, the government, to me, should have a plan. And it doesn't seem to have one. the government should consult stakeholders.
When you say these stakeholders, should be included in these stakeholders?
A lot of our people today, before we used to say it is non-indigenous alone that ride bikes. A lot of our people ride bikes. A lot of our people ride bikes. I have family members who do. I've used bikes in earlier instances of my very youthful days in town. A lot of cross Riverans are also into it, even if they may not form the majority. Now, the reason I'm saying is, of course, even the government is not even only for cross Riverans. Those who have lived here with us are all part of the government's responsibility. So, these people who ride the bikes would seem not to have any choice of survival and seem to think that that is the only form of business should be consulted. They should be gathered, whether they have a registered platform or not. They should be called upon somewhere to express themselves. Okay, what alternative trades, you know, can they get into? How can they, basically be joined together to own either a bus or whatever? How can they be encouraged, strategically encouraged that, okay, if you get a government bus, you probably have to enter the periphery, or you have to be like this special cab service that we have in town, where if you are called, you know, you take it up, but it's government arrangement. So for me, there's a whole lot of reason why they have to be spoken to. There are people who invest in this business. Many of the people who ride bikes do not, as a matter of fact, are owners of those bikes. You know, some of us have had to put those kind of things on the road because it was cheaper to buy bikes and get people to ride. And a lot of at the economic level of the state, it's simply easier for a lot of our people to buy bikes than to buy the buses of a lot of money and all that. So the owners of these bikes, which perhaps are almost now equal to the riders themselves who also own the bikes, must be brought to the table. There must be that fact of developing another system of transportation with them, or developing the transportation in a way and manner that we can still introduce the cabs. If now this government is conscious of allowing bikes in the periphery, we will introduce the bikes. Then we ensure that the bikes are safe. Because part of the reason why bike is a problem in terms of safety is that a lot of those bikes are extremely old, extremely terrible, in terrible conditions, that if we ensure that in those periphery the government is willing to allow them, the bikes are good bikes. No bikes, I mean, not bikes that you're riding in the middle of a chain to just cut and the people simply expose themselves, whether they are other cars or not. If you fall on the floor, you are going to seriously harm yourself. Then, so you have a situation where if the government consults these people, the safety measures will be put in place. But not just consulting them and indirectly accepting that the town is not ripe, you know, for a complete ban. And then making statements that are more confusing. It's not helping the matter. That's my point. So there is no point at all to simply issue this statement and you didn't have one meeting with bike riders and bike owners.
Thank you very much, Zazan Slida Benusang. We are discussing the Okada ban in Calabar, Okada ban and public transportation in Calabar, and ideas, issues, and reality. Of course, the idea is that they are banning the bike from the city center and the metropolis. That's what the statement issued by Emmanuel Egbuche, the chief spokesperson to Governor Bassey Otu on Wednesday, the 21st day of June 2023, has said. And we have Lida Ben here in the studio saying, this will create some confusion, as it were. But now we'll have to open the phone line so you tell us what you think about the Okada ban in Calabar. The statement said metropolis and city center, as it were. You have to stay away from the city center. That's what it says. And the number to dial.
The ban is on the metropolis, and you're staying away from the city center. That's the policy confusion.
It's a policy confusion.
Because I think that the entire town is, the entire Calabar is supposed to be in metropolis. For God's sake, it's the capital of the state, isn't it?
Well, what exactly constitutes Calabar? Now the phone line is open, and the number to dial is 0700-959-44836. 0700-959-44836. Tell us what you think about the Okada ban. Should it go on? Should it not? And we have our first caller on the line. Hello, good evening.
Good evening, my brother Jonathan.
Good evening. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Basi from 8 Miles.
All right, Basi from 8 Miles. Go ahead with your comment, contribution, or question.
Greetings to your special eloquent guest. Please, I want to ask, from the first ban to the second and third, my question is, does it include Arbor Road and SPC Junction. Those who drive bus on those routes, are they from the moon? How come that nobody can intercept them? That you go down to Ikorama, go down to Lion Gate to arrest people. That these are people that are on your face. You can't arrest them. Thank you. Good morning. Good evening.
Thank you very much, Basi, from, is it that? Yeah, 0700-959-44836. Tell us what you think about that. I think we have another caller on the line. Okay. Hello, good evening.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Good evening. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Ekurinum. My name is David.
All right, David from Ekurinum, go ahead with your comment, contribution, or question.
I beg. I love the idea of finding Okada, but the government, what is their plan for those self-driving bikes? So driving bikes to feed their family. What is the government plan? You have to drop out Okada. They won't make them do English or what? So let government put KK in that place, in that bad place, or let him give KK and minibus as a empowerment, maybe an empowerment for them. They have to stop bike and the issue. They can get empowerment, KK and minibus. Those area bike used to enter, they can put KK there and extend time for KK, at least from 10 or 9, 10.
Oh, well, we lost that call there. 0700-959-44836. Hello, good evening.
Hello, Jonathan. Good evening.
Good evening. Tell us the name and where you're calling from.
This is Nicholas from Edmars.
Nick from Edmars, go ahead with your comment, contribution, or question.
I'm very, very grateful of this program that you bring over. Your program is always interesting. But I want to tell the government. I know government cannot stop doing instruction. It has some reasons why it's doing this. But you should tell those task force, those policemen, that if they should stop the bike, they should not be running after them inside the street. Because we have some certain distance that you cannot trick, and those bikes, like from Lemna Junction to inside Lemna, is very far, is a very far distance. And most time they pursue those people even till after the dustbin, which is not fair. They should give them instruction, if they are stopping the bike, it should be on the highway. The excellency had...
Well, I don't know what is happening with the network today, but nonetheless, 0700-959-44836. Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Akpan Jesus. I'm calling from Afokan.
Akpan Jesus from Afokan. Go ahead with your comment, contribution, or question.
Good evening, all. Please, sir, I want to ask, ever since the stop of Okada, has insecurity been controlled? Because day in, day out, we are experiencing a new metamorphosis insecurity level. When they were leveling against Okada rider, then now insecurity is at eyesight. Has it been controlled, sir? Because me, I like stopping Okada. When they stop Okada, I was thinking that the security condition of Calabar Metropolis will be controlled. Rather, maiming, killing, kidnapping is at the eyesight. What should be done, SS? I think you are SS.
No, unfortunately, there's nobody there with... I don't know why you're laughing there, but... well, none of us is... I'm not... Thank you very much. The Akpan Jesus is asking a very delicate question there. How has that impacted on crime rate? Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the Nigerian police has not published crime rate for the past 5 years. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Emmanuel calling from Edmars.
All right, Emmanuel from Edmars, go ahead with your comment, contribution.
I want to make my contribution concerning the issue of this bike of a change. What I'm trying to say is that there are so many layout that we don't have a good road, even taking that they cannot enter. Extension of back, like in 8-9 that I'm calling you now, from Enema Altis, from Ikoreko, from Ikorebo, there are so many places that is not accessible, even taking that they cannot enter. So there are lots of people that are living right inside there. So back now, what will be the effect of the people that are living inside that place to come out to the town? In fact, when they were taking the committee to take care of the bike, those police, they used to drive people on the track, Bakoko. So what I'm trying to say is that if I thought they had to allow the...
Unfortunately, we can't hear you anymore. I don't know what is happening this evening. 0700-959-448-36. We may take maybe two or three more calls before we wrap up. Hello, good evening. Turn off your radio set, please. Or move away from your radio.
Good evening. This is James calling from Calabas out.
James from Calabas out. Go ahead with your comment, contribution, or question.
Okay. I don't think the policy of the government is that bad. But the issue is that when the government brings policies, they should really spell it out, because sometimes the security agents will take advantage of it and add more, or even the government not intend to do, and bring hardship. And people begin to see government policy as very bad. But no, the government should try and spell it out. And secondly, sir, I don't think in that press release, the government also say those who have like shaped glasses should also be penalized, or should also stop it. Because from what we are hearing, that even some police, or they say even a military personnel will just stop you and say, why did you put your shaped glasses on your screen? I have the next, you know, just arrest you, carry to anti-courties and detain you illegally. That is what is going on now. Illegally. They'll just detain you and you have to pay fine and all those stuff like that. The government did not give that press release, but now they are taking advantage of it. And people begin to see the government policy as very bad. People begin to see government. So the government should spell it out and let us know where they want these people to drive. Like you check like what market, that one about, you want to go to the beach. You hardly see keke. Those people should be allowed to drive that bike to the beach. So other areas they should look about, but not like when the government said this, people will take advantage of it. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much there. Well, at least thank God the network did not stop you there. We could take maybe one more call and that will wrap it up. I'll be back to you. Hello, good evening. Hello, unfortunately.
Good evening, Jonathan.
Good evening. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Frank. I'm calling from 8 Miles here.
Oh, Frank from 8 Miles. That's so good to hear from so many people from 8 Miles this evening. Go ahead with your comment, contribution, or question.
I'm calling because I have been an insider in this policy implementation. From the first governor, that is Donald, I was part of the administrative team that came with the regulation, not outright ban. It was that administration brought the helmets and vest, numbered vest, and got data from all registered motorcyclists. But my take on this new policy direction is this. They should call a meeting of stakeholders. I think I still know some of them. They have an association called ACOMORON. It's an abbreviation, acronym, rather. Association of Commercial Motorcycle Riders of Nigeria is a Comoron. So if they can lay hands on this kind of persons, they will be of help, because these two were involved in the enforcement and regulation of that policy then, leading to even the time of... So Leo now brought the taxi cabs, the frontal cabs, and gradually was phasing out their business cycles. I think they can still go back to that to get these people involved so that they can run a seamless policy on this ban. It is impossible and not practicable for now to hourly ban them. They are useful. I live in a remote area where there are no taxis. So I take their services too. Thank you for now.
Thank you very much, Mr. Frank. You are the perfect last caller, yeah, as it is. It's good that you said this, that we really hope that when your services are called upon again, you will definitely answer and ensure we have a really fruitful and conversation that will bring a better society for all of us. Now, your last words on this, Leader Ben.
Okay, well, my last word would be that coming from a very big city today, perhaps, you know, one of my sites was seeing bikes basically positioned in, to connect people to satellite towns. And then nobody was pursuing them. It was daytime. They all were packed and all that. So that, at some point, may not have been a good site for the level of such city in Nigeria. But it seems to be the reality. So for us, the reality is that Calabar is not ripe for a total ban. There are aspects of Calabar that the government should test a total ban and basically do that for the next 3-4 years. Then within that period of time, just like the last caller said, and basically agreed with me, call the stakeholders, hold a dialogue with them, go through a process that is going to lead to a situation where we have a better transportation system that the people can be proud of, the people can basically remember this administration for. So I think that the options are there, the possibilities are there. And this is a technological era, you know. It basically being out there also with somebody talking technology. You know, this issue of you being able to make an appointment directly with somebody that just picks you and takes you out to a place where you can take good transport is also there, instead of the people being positioned waiting on the roads. So the app thing where you make your request unique to you, you make it personal, and it's obvious that you took the decision to convey yourself to a certain point with these bikes. It's also there. So government basically has a lot to, you know, to do, but in the meantime, let them talk to the public, let them clarify what is a city center, and effectively maybe ban the bikes in the city center, and ensure that the test run and the effectiveness of the bikes being banned in the city center means that the road in the city center will be put in place very neatly for the taxis not to complain. The taxi situation in this city, so-called city center, will become reasonable and cheaper, and there will be good transportation and every other thing that should make what should be a city center of Calabar most ideal for transportation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Leader Ben Osan. He's the chairman of Cross River State Civil Society Network. Thank you for joining us on the program this evening.
Thank you
to all our callers out there and to our listeners. You're always king on the program. Say thank you. And of course, to the production team led by Charles Kalu, who is the spokesperson of the Nigerian Guild of Editors, of course, and assisted by Jeremiah Chibong. Not forgetting Digitoni here. I have with me in the studio today Godwin Otan, Patrick Obia. We say thank you to our corporate sponsors, Innocent Vehicle Manufacturing, Kusiano Hotels Obudu, and Stepway Barbin Salud and Bar here in Calabar. Our media partners, Heat 95.9 FM and CrossoverWatch.com. We say thank you, of course. And on the dialogue, we continue to demand for the unconditional release of Peter Tex, the Godfather, victim kidnapped on January 11, 2019. We don't accept what law enforcement officials say they can't confirm if he is dead or alive. We also urge them to investigate the disappearance of Abubakar Dadiyate Idris. What happened to Mubarak Bala? It's unfortunate, but we wish him well at the Court of Appeal, where we are aware the notice of appeal has been filed. On the dialogue today, a special shout out to Achibon Jr., my sister Patricia Shaka, John Collins, Idem, Dr. Antiga Corbom, Juan Woods, my dear friend, of course, Ernestina Celestina, Jim Geraldine, Ito, Sash Awaka, Kofi Akpabio, of course, John Oli. Special happy birthday shout out to all of you out there. The conversation concerns on social media, on Facebook, The Dialogue with Agba Jalingo, tweet to us at The Dialogue CRS, and on Instagram, The Dialogue CRS. Of course, on The Dialogue with Agba Jalingo, we'll leave no stone unturned and no stone unturned to ensure the crossover conversation verse forces the fruit. And no matter what the devil smoke, he can never become the Most High. The Most High is always on the throne. Till next Sunday when I come your way again, I am Jonathan Abang, and it's bye for now.
Listen and stream. Hit FM Calabar. From any part of the world. Log on to hit959.com. Man.
searching for my own.